Welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 418. This is Kevin DeFrango, and with my ever-rotating guest list of guest hosts or co-hosts. Yeah, I shouldn't say guest because all of you are pretty
Yeah, I'm not a guest, motherfucker. Jesus Christ.
this week, it happens to be Jeremy Mays, if you haven't made out that voice already.
Yeah, the voice is still a little scratchy, but it's enough to do a show. So,
yeah. I would imagine it's a little scratchy from Clutch last evening.
Yes. Yeah, well, luckily I got a chance to rest for the rest of the show after Clutch was done. Because, I don't know, man, Clutch was the opener. Even though they're supposed to do equal sets, it rained. So they didn't let us into the outdoor venue until, I think, 20 minutes before the show was supposed to start. So they're supposed to start right at 7:30 and play till 9, so they get an hour and a half. And their time got cut by 15 minutes, which blows because that's who I was there to see. But then somehow Primus, they only... Okay, you know, when we were in school, we used to go to shows, we were bitch about how long it would take them to go from, like, setup to setup.
Oh, right.
That is nearly a non-existent thing now.
Yes, I have noticed that. It's a much shorter time frame. It's a half hour tops most of the time.
Man, Clutch ended at 9. Primus was on stage and playing at 9:20. It was that was with, like, all the lights are out, you know, get ready, blah, 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 blah. And I was amazed, because usually it's like, oh my god, it's like 30, 45 minutes already. Like, are we ever going to do this? But, yeah, and, like, Primus was fine.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm not a huge fan, but there was a lot of, like, jamming going on. And then in the middle of, like, they actually let off with Too Many Puppies, and in the middle of it, like, right in the middle of the song, they played another one of the songs you know, which I can't remember the name of offhand, and then finished Too Many Puppies after it.
Oh.
Yeah, so that was kind of cool. Like, all right, but then, you know, they're not known for their guitar. I mean,
correct.
The guitar has a very important part in their music, but everybody knows, and so does Les Claypool, he knows the bass is the way to go with that. Like, that's their signature sound. So when you got a guitar solo of a guy just strumming one chord and then just wah-wah on the pedal for 3 minutes and then strumming another one and wah-wahing for 15, what seemed like 15 minutes. You know, after a high-energy set like Clutch puts on, I'm not in the mood for this bullshit. Like, let's go. Get to the songs we want to hear. Especially, and they didn't seem like they were all that thrilled they were playing old songs because those are the ones getting
the reaction. Well, I guess that's all that I know from Primus. Like, it's kind of funny that you mentioned that they were low energy because I believe Brian saw them once, and he just said that everyone was pogoing around the whole time that they were playing. So
the guitarist and the drummer, honestly, I think his name was Wes. He actually fucked up the end of Jerry's a Race Car Driver. Because, you know, Les always has to have the last bass line, last word, and he played, like, one extra drum beat. And, like, Les turned around and looked at him, like, what the hell was that? He just started laughing. And he actually pointed out, he's like, I'm not one to point fingers, but I think Wes fucked up the end of that song. And everyone laughed, and I'm like, cool, let's go. Quit talking. Like, play Winona's Break Brown Beaver already. Let's go. And they didn't.
Oh.
And I was very surprised, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that to me isn't one of their better songs, so I wouldn't give a shit if they didn't play it. But
see, I still love that song. I don't know what it is. Every time that's on, I still really get into that one. I don't know why. But they didn't play it. But they played everything else you want to hear. And he actually called it, "We're going to continue with our hits parade tonight." It's like, dude, what do you expect? I mean, music's changed.
That's what every concert is, essentially. You know, there aren't that many. Like, I can't think of, like, I saw Machine Head did a whole evening that I went to go see. And they played for 2.5 hours, and I wouldn't say that they played that much obscure stuff. You know, it was stuff that I've probably heard in concert, except for, you know, stuff that was off the new album.
It's funny. A lot of old-time Clutch fans bitch because they play mostly off the whatever the latest two albums are. They play off that, and then they pepper in like some of the old hits, and they're mostly the same ones. But people still go crazy for them.
Oh,
and it's like, well, make up your mind. I mean, if you show no energy to them, then maybe, you know, people they'll stop playing them. But no, like Clutch has been touring for 25 years now, or something like that. And Primus, they were actually gone for like what, 5-6 years.
It was a long time. That's probably part of the reason why I don't pay attention to them. Like, I guess they lost relevance to me at that point. Like, I still enjoy, like, I know that I always, when Sanity's music starts on NXT, I always think about Primus.
Yep.
But it's also not, like, one of those things that I'm like, oh, I wonder if they have a new album. Like, and I even have it on Spotify so that I can listen, and I do pretty regularly. But yeah, like anything beyond that Tales from the Punch Bowl album, which has Wynonna's Big Brown Beaver on it, like I pretty much tapped out. So I mean, anything new that they'd play, I'd be lost.
Well, that was also around the time, and I was explaining this to Elise, like all these, Primus isn't grunge, mind you, but all those 90s bands that were supposed to be so down to earth and so, you know, like commoners, and they all had egomaniacs in the bands. Like, Primus has been Les Claypool and two other guys. And then they got, like, the original lineup got back together. He renamed them Sausage.
Oh.
And then, I don't know if these are the original two guys back in Primus or not, but, you know, he's an egomaniac, so it's all about him. If you didn't like it, peace out. That's why my helmet is barely, well, they're making a comeback, but... You know, Paige Hamilton did the same thing. Oh, you don't like the way you're doing it? Get the fuck out. I mean, and you wonder why, because there's no harmony to the music from album to album when you're constantly putting new people in. Anyways.
There's our music review for the first 10 minutes of the show.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, real quick. The people who were there for Primus, and there was a substantial amount of people there for Primus, they were into everything they did. So, maybe that's me, but...
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. I missed all of Raw, so I had to, funny, we got home by 11:30, which actually isn't too late, but I was able to catch up on, the pirated or bootlegged, YouTube compilation of WWE's hits. Not sanctioned by WWE, of course. So,
well, I mean, I did kind of laugh to myself when I figured you hadn't watched because you were at the concert. But I was just like, oh, he could use that, you know, top 10 hits of Raw that the WWE does sanction. And just, and honestly, we could do the show because we don't end up nitpicking like every little thing that happens on the show. So if you see the highlights, I mean, that's what we talk about. So, yeah, it's pretty easy to get away with not watching an entire show like I do.
Well, looking at the show, I thought, I mean, if we want to start with the big thing from it, fine, but the angle reveal, that crowd, I mean, was that a fart noise or was that just air leaving the building? Like, are you kidding? That was not a well-received angle, no matter how hard they want to try and push it on their social media accounts that it was shocking. And the WWE Universe is, well, I guess the WWE Universe is talking about it. Unfavorably, but they're talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, I liked how some idiot had to put together like 12 posts just to say Jason Jordan is the secret. And I'm just like, as soon as they said that they were going to reveal it, it's kind of leaked that it was going to be a kid. And considering the fact that Jason Jordan had conspicuously been absent from any segment with Dan Gable like the previous 2 weeks on SmackDown Live, if you watch the TV, and I mean in this case you have to watch the whole thing, you kind of saw what was coming. Like, I know that sometimes they swerve you, but sometimes it's also very predictable, and this one was pretty predictable. And
I hadn't paid that close of attention to it, so I don't know. I doubt this would have happened, but I didn't know if it was like something with Dixie Carter, because they made a big deal out of her being on, you know, his 24/7 show.
Right.
I don't know. I didn't get it. I figured Jason Jordan wasn't on because he was hurt. I mean, American Alpha wasn't even on SmackDown for months.
Oh.
And then all of a sudden, Gable shows up twice.
Yeah, and starts and, like, getting Jason, singles matches.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell's going on here? I whatever. It's more stupid WWE writing. This is just dumb. They push all their social media accounts. They push everything about their talent. I almost said wrestlers. But their talent, their wrestlers, all of this stuff, their social media, everybody knows this isn't true.
Oh,
and I appreciate the effort of them to say, well, you know, like from today's SmackDown, well, you know, my parents have been very good about this. You know, it takes more than just genetics to be parents or something like that. And I'm like, are they seriously going to do this? Like,
oh.
I mean, I guess you have to, but...
Well, everything was so stupid about it. Angle was worried that it was going to wreck his family, but... A, if you're worried about the fact that, as Shahid alluded to after my comment as such, that it was just the fact that it was a white man and a black... girlfriend at the time. We already have Shaka Khan listed as one of Kurt Angle's significant others.
Rocka Khan. Shaka Khan was a music group.
Whatever.
Rocka Khan.
So, I mean, that part isn't really surprising, I suppose. Like, if you know anything of Angle's history... And then, like, he didn't cheat on either wife, even the one that cheated on him with Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah.
So, there wasn't anything bad, like, karma in the, you know, in the marriages somewhere. It was just, like, someone decided not to tell him something that they should have. It changes your life. I understand that part, but... How anyone can view that as negative, I guess. I mean, unless you go, hey, you're a dumbass for not putting a bag on it. You know, there's not a whole lot else you can, a lot of territory you can go there. If you weren't told about it, you weren't told about it. You know?
Yeah, and it's funny, like, this is on the heels of that 24/7 on the network.
Oh.
Where he's talking about like all his mistakes, and he even has that famous line now. It's like, you know, I was a role model for all these people, and now I'm just a recovering addict. And it's like, well, if you're going to go to like the integrity, this and this, well, I mean, no offense, but even through your own words, you're showing that, you know, your integrity may have been a little soft. But even then,
Was it spelled S-A-W-F-T?
I want my athletes plowing ass. You know, like, or getting ass, whatever. You know, either way. I hate the idea of these, like, super, especially wrestlers, like the Olympic style.
Yeah.
Those guys are just balls of masculinity. So you would think they were just shredding left and right. So this makes total sense. And I love the fact that Kurt said it was, I didn't talk to her after our final date. So, are we supposed to think you guys banged out the final date and never heard from each other ever again? Like, or is it just you guys broke up on the final date and she just didn't realize, you know, she had old Jason Jordan in the oven? It was just the language of it was kind of strange. Like, all right, well, whatever. But
yeah, I don't know. Like, it just there's so much just wrong with this, because it honestly, the first thing I thought of was the Drew Galloway push, when Mr. McMahon anointed him the next one, or whatever they called him, and it just failed miserably, because they, you know, it was an even worse situation. Like, I guess you could in some ways compare it to Roman Reigns. Like, Roman Reigns, they had at least established him as a dominant force throughout his time in the Shield, even though it was, like, what, a year plus that they were in or something like that, before he went on his own. And then people didn't really start hating him right away either. Like, Jordan's kind of a blank slate, like Drew Galloway was. He had a little bit of time on NXT, but that's the other interesting thing, part of this, about breaking him away from Gable, is that Gable did almost all of the talking for them.
Yep.
So,
he was,
like,
the personality of the two. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if they were hiding him in NXT for a lack of talking ability, what's going to happen on the main roster where you need that even more than you need it on NXT? I mean, maybe he'll prove me wrong, but I mean, they've kind of shown by their own actions that they don't believe in his talking abilities.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's why they put him with Angle. I don't know. But I guess... Besides it just being a dumb thing, like, no, I think people want real issues between the performers, whether it be female, male, whatever. They don't want the soap opera stuff anymore. Like the real hard, like, oh my god, Stavros is still alive? I think that's a real person. wait, I didn't see that coming. Or, this is really my baby. Like, what? We don't. No, I don't want this garbage. I mean, so then you see, like, or if it's done like a tongue-in-cheek way, like, all right, this is really goofy, like that. The X Fashion Files, is that what it was called this week?
Oh yeah,
you know, today's was really bad, but you got to have something either absurd or you have to have it serious. Because look at the other stuff on Raw. You've got the Hardys going through, which was going to lead to the broken gimmick, losing the Revival again, and I'm not done with Jason Jordan yet. And then you've got the main event. My God. You got two guys who are just trying to kill each other. Oh, but we forgot about the third guy who wants to kill one of the other guys. And if you get in the way, he's going to try and kill you too. I mean, that's like a real issue. That's something people can actually understand and get behind. Outside yeah. the ambulance thing. But I think that's just a problem. It's a problem that they didn't have until just this week now. And I'm trying to think, maybe I just, you know, blew those angles off, but...
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's just because, well, part of the problem is that something was happening and it was just so odd, like, to have the GM involved in that kind of an angle, I guess. I mean, it's very underwhelming to have that be the answer. Like, I guess I thought when he had, you kind of talked about earlier about, like, Dixie Carter having the kid or something, like, that would have been interesting, I guess.
Oh, no, no, I just meant, like, Carter, like, he was in cahoots with Dixie Carter for, like, I don't know, but no, not that Dixie Carter had his kid. That'd be hilarious, actually, but it still would be shit on pretty bad outside of the shock, so.
Okay, well, at least it would have been.
Other issues here is, oh, go ahead.
Well, at least it would have been something. Again, like, everyone kind of saw this one coming a mile away because of the whole, like, I mean, people were suggesting Angle managing American Alpha before this happened. Like, well before this happened. Like, this isn't even, like, a new idea. Like, the moment American Alpha kind of became a thing and Angle got out of TNA, like, this was, everyone's like, we need to do this. And they just did it. And it's just like, oh, really? Like, and I don't know why you leave Gable out of the equation. Like, it's really strange to me.
Yeah. See, and that's one of the things. And it even goes to the Enzo and Cass thing. Enzo and Cass were huge. I think they were, what, number three in merchandise?
From the day they came up,
which we talked about this before, they've been wanting to break them up.
Oh.
Okay. Why? Is to make money. And Cass supposedly is 26 years old. He's only 26? What's he been through? Because he looks like he's way older than 26 years old.
You know, that was one that I didn't check, because when I forgot to talk to Shahid about the one of the questions that he had last week.
I didn't hear your show last week. What did he say?
Oh, well, I still have up the bio page for Maria Kanellis.
And well, he's 31. He ain't 26. All right, never mind. Go ahead.
Okay,
sorry.
Well, that's it. I was just looking it up. That's hilarious, giving him 5 years. As if
that's a little much.
Yeah, and again, it's one of those things that we looked it up that quickly. It's just like, I know they desperately want a young person there, but they, like, the only young people are the women on their roster. Like, all of these fresh faces have been around a long ass time.
Yep.
Yeah,
and but that's what I don't get is the old days. It was you had a tag team. They were getting to the end of their run, then you broke them up. And I know there's the adage to where, well, you break a team up when they're white, or you turn somebody when they're white hot because it's going to mean more. I don't think the Enzo and Cass, they reached the ceiling yet. And then American Alpha, and so they break them up. And now you got American Alpha, who won the SmackDown titles and then lost them and then disappeared. So it's like, wait a second, what the hell? What's going on here? Because remember when they announced American Alpha in the draft? The crowd went crazy.
Bonkers.
The next day, or no, 2 weeks, yeah, and then they didn't even have him appear on SmackDown. The next day, and then the next week they were on SmackDown, they got a good pop. And now they're broken up, and it's like they weren't even up a wait. Yeah, because the draft was after WrestleMania, right?
Correct.
No, it was before, because this was, because they had a SmackDown Women's. Yeah, because they were in the Battle Royal for WrestleMania. They were in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Yeah, blink and you miss it. They were in there.
Oh, Yeah, well, I probably was doing something else or brewing the ultimate thrill rye at that point and not really paying that much attention. But no, it's
like they bring them up. They bring up the super over tag team, break them up, and now one's Kurt Angle's kid. And Chad Gable, his runs written for him today were god-awful. He didn't even see – he could see in his eyes he wasn't buying any of this crap.
Oh, yeah, his opinion seemed really strange. Like, oh, yeah, everything depends upon you always communicating with your partner, and you live with them on the road and in the ring and that. But the guy left out, like, a gigantic piece of his life the last couple of weeks.
Yeah,
and, like he didn't act betrayed at all?
Jason Jordan, no.
Oh, well, yeah, I don't know.
Exactly.
Well, and it's one of those things that, Corey Graves was talking about. He's like, oh, Kurt, you can't second guess. You know, in this day and age, this news is going to get out. Hey, if something like that really popped up for Kurt Angle and the news had started... Like, the speculation had started a week before, or 4 weeks before that, someone would have outed the news already. But because it's a dumb wrestling angle, it was a big secret until the reveal.
Yeah, WWE would have outed the news. You know, according to TMZ or ESPN, you know, the media outlets we feed news to, so they report it on. Yeah, but no, I just don't like breaking up. Well, one, I can't say American Alpha was popular anymore because the reaction of them went down.
Oh.
Because it was just, oh, here's these guys. Enzo and Cass at the top, break them up, and, you know, Enzo just comes out now, talks, and then lets Big Show beat up Big Cass. Like, what? Anyways, I don't get it. And it was funny, somebody, I read, can't remember exactly where, but of all the NXT tag team champions, only three are still together. And I was racking my brain, like, who the hell are they talking about? And one's the Revival.
Yeah, which barely counts. Which, not trying to insult them as a team, but they came up. And then the one gets injured, what, 2 weeks after their debut?
Yeah.
Dawson, Wilder gets hurt, like, 2 weeks after their debut. So, I mean, okay. But anyway, it's correct.
Yeah, so it's them, the Authors of Pain, which is kind of a cheap one because they're still champions. And I was racking my brain for the other one. And I know Enzo and Cass never counted. They never won the tag team titles,
It's not the Apocalypse.
The Ascension.
The Ascension.
Yeah. And where the hell are they?
They may as well be broken up.
Yeah, they came out of Battleground, like, oh, all right, here we go. And then they had that really good showing. What was it, going into Survivor Series? They built them up for those few weeks because they needed to make them credible for the tag team match.
Oh, yeah.
And they've been gone ever since, too. So...
Yeah, well, except for when Fandango and Tyler Breeze are interviewing them.
Yeah.
Or interrogating them.
And they have
them.
The match and they beat them. Like, yeah, just... Anyways, yeah, that was dumb. But
yeah,
that,
I agree. Like, so they've broken up two tag teams, both too early and both for different bad reasons.
And now it's come out that Cass apparently is a giant Donald Trump supporter, so he has heat in the locker room. It's like, wait a minute. Is that why they broke him up? Because he supports the guy that the owner of the company he works for, his wife, works in that guy's presidential cabinet? Isn't she like the secretary of small business or some goofy-ass title like that?
Yeah, she has some goofy-ass position that didn't really need to be confirmed.
Yeah. So is it's just like a disingenuous Trump supporter because he thinks it's, you know, that's what the boss wants to hear. But I don't understand. For like, they do a lot of things right. They've been doing a lot of things right lately.
Oh,
but boy, they've been doing some dumb stuff. And the Jason Jordan thing, and how they've taken SmackDown and made that show absolutely boring, is beyond me.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. We said we were gonna start with 1 point, and then completely went off board with the music. But it was kind of funny where Raw was very kind of newsworthy and fairly interesting, really, most of the way through. SmackDown, they hyped all of their matches for Battleground, but it didn't feel like they hyped the matches for Battleground. Like, that main event on Raw, I mean, I'm all for a four-way match at SummerSlam already between Brock Lesnar and Strowman and Reigns who am I forgetting in that equation there?
Joe.
Oh, Joe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the real Samoa Joe. Get it? Anyways, yeah, I wasn't expecting, I'm still not expecting SummerSlam to be a four-way match. They got a long way to go still. But where do you go? Like, who do you give the match to? I know it's supposed to be Reigns, but the original plan was supposed to be Strowman. But then Joe is on fire right now. The crowd, even like the little podunk towns I go to, Joe's getting a huge reaction. So it's like, what a great time. What a great time to have like a solid main event of four guys. But then, oh yeah, Battleground Sunday. Wait, what? Hyping the dumbest shit possible.
Yeah, and it does not help that the Punjabi prison is gonna be one of the main features of Battleground. That?
Yeah.
A flag match, which admittedly, I mean, I guess Cornball John Cena, as Shaheed likes to call him, I see him calling for that type of a match. But it's another one where it's just like, why are you putting Rusev in this position again? Because, I mean, yep. Rusev isn't going to win because there's a heel champion, and I really don't see Randy Orton regaining the title in the prison. Like, I mean, you're really wasting all of the effort you've put behind Jinder Mahal, which, at this point, they're like 3 months deep into investing in Jinder Mahal. Like, I think you need to keep that thing going if you want it to be a thing, because if he loses on Sunday, yeah, he can go join Jack Swagger in the House of Hardcore, because that's all the better that he's going to do.
Yeah, I don't even know like where to start with SmackDown. Another women match. Okay, we haven't seen this done to death. And they just gave us Becky Lynch and Charlotte on free TV for godforsaken reason.
I would be remiss to say that was a really good match. I did enjoy that quite a bit. But that was the one thing you were talking about giving away for free. Yeah. I mean, they really worked hard in that match. I'm just like, oh, maybe they'll again realize why they drafted Becky Lynch over to SmackDown instead of keeping her on the way back burner somewhere.
Who was the original champion? It wasn't Alexa. Was Becky Lynch the first one?
Yes.
Okay. See, not that they had, hey, you know what, maybe they should have just let Natalya have it for a while. But they blew the wad with Becky being the first, then losing it, and then getting it back again, and then losing it to Alexa and never regaining it, and then, you know, Alexa loses to Naomi, or, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, alright, So it's like blowing their wad. Even like with American Alpha, they could have had them chasing the Usos all the way to WrestleMania, but that didn't happen. Now we see, but
yeah, I don't think they're planning on
if Charlotte
angle.
And Becky would have been a beatdown to interrupt the match, then I get it. But they actually had a clean match. It's like, what are we doing here? It's the same average Joe stuff that they were doing on Raw. That the women's division in SmackDown is. Outside of Carmella and Naomi. Everybody else is just, you know, got floaties on, treading the water for a while. And it sucks.
The SmackDown women still at least have their own personalities, which I appreciate, but man, yeah, they're still not really in much better shape than the women over on Raw. Because it's also been equally weird that, I don't know why within that elimination match to get the title match against Naomi that Carmella isn't acting like pretty much every former winner of Money in the Bank. It's just like, nah, man, I want as many cracks at this thing as possible. Like, why are you not putting me in this match?
Yeah.
And she should just be saying shit like, oh, I beat them twice already in a ladder match. I'm going to do this easy. Sure, she's probably not going to win it because she has the briefcase. But it would make sense for her to at least fight for the right to get into that match.
Yeah. I mean, unless you can take the other chance, like, well, why would I bother being put in a match where six people are just going to beat me up? You know? Kind of get, I guess, try to be smart like that and get out of it. But
yeah.
No, like, it just...
They haven't really fleshed that out one way or the other. You know, she just came in and taunted Naomi with the briefcase, which is, you know, par for the course when a heel has that. But I guess I just feel like she needs something more to be doing than just, again, like the champion's been sitting on the sideline now for essentially 2 months or 3 months. And now.
She fought Lana a couple times.
Oh, well, okay. She sat on the sideline for 3 months. But, but they're going to move. Basically, you know, unless they're going to pull a Damian Sandow with Carmella, you know, she's going to be champion at some point. You know, to me, it doesn't make sense to give someone the briefcase at this point if you don't want them to be champion. Maybe they're going to wait until Ellsworth comes back.
God damn, I forgot about him, actually. Hey, if that's the end for him, I know he's, like, suspended, whatever, but good for you, my friend. Oh. But to get back, like, you mentioned Lana, and to get back to the John Cena Rusev thing, especially tonight, what was, like, Shahid nails it, that cornball stuff. And then going over, he's like, when Pearl Harbor burned to the ground, Pearl Harbor didn't burn to the ground. It got bombed. There's two totally different things there.
Yeah.
Washington and then to got get burned super to the ground serious, in the War of 1812. Takes the hat off. And I understand because it's the newest American tragedy of them all. Like, and when the towers fell, that flag eventually, or whatever, still stuck. I was like, oh my God, seriously? Seriously? And he goes, that means these colors. I was like, don't run. These colors don't run. Got it. What other stupid platitudes is he going to sit there and sit on? I guess this is just one. If you're a cynic or you pay attention, you're like, what is this fucking garbage? And then when Rusev comes in, beats his ass, I was like, good, shut him up. That's fine. But also, I can see Cena losing this. He's not going to, mind you. But it prevents him from being pinned. So you still got that. But, yeah, Rusev, like, you're reintroducing him, and no, he's not getting a rub from being in the ring with Cena.
For the 92nd time.
Yeah.
They've already had 2.5 feuds. This is not going to do him any favors.
No. And then also, we have a problem with Bulgaria? Like, huh?
Yeah, I'd still have a hard time pointing out Bulgaria on a map. So,
I'm not convinced Bulgaria still exists. Yeah, sick.
Yeah, it still exists. Amusingly enough, I was forced to watch entirely too much gymnastics as a child when the Olympics were on, and there were a lot of good Bulgarian gymnasts. So.
Yeah, so Bulgaria is near Turkey.
Greece. Yeah.
And
it was Eastern Europe somewhere.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, there's your lesson on Bulgaria. But like, at least with Jinder Mahal, well, Russo's being a bigger dick about it than Jinder Mahal is. Because at least Rusev's calling like the American people weak and America as a country like going down the tubes and whatever else. So I was like, well, yeah, he sounds like a Facebook post. Okay, I mean, cool. So I guess if you want to chant USA, but the USA chants aren't quite as loud as they used to be. Every time they do these like patriotic angles, it's like the sound gets weaker and weaker.
It doesn't help that just in general that the crowd is, it's here to stay that it's split, you know, so in this case it's an obvious go John Cena, and, you know, half the crowd doesn't want John Cena to go.
Yes.
So, I mean, by extension, they're just not going to say USA. That is not going to draw people in.
They're just plain fans of Rusev.
Oh, yes. Well, and they're probably the same
people. Did you see Rusev's July 4th picture on Instagram?
No.
He's smoking a cigar, drinking a beer, and he's in bikini briefs cutting his lawn. That's more American than anything John Cena has ever done, including tribute to the troops. Sorry, Rusev gets it, while John Cena's over here beating us over the head about how patriotic we are and giving us abbreviated history lessons. It's like, yeah, you know what? Fuck him. I want the Bulgarian guy to win. If all he has to do is wave his flag, because the old days, a flag match was you got your flag raised above the arena for the entire card. I learned that from Corporal Kirshner beating somebody who I can't remember. But, and it's just a dumb stipulation. It's basically a flag on a pole. It's a flagpole match. And you take the flag down. That's it. Yeah, I don't know. It's like they wanted John Cena to be in a match where he won't get hurt that much, I guess. Which doesn't make any sense either, because you got to beat the guy down enough so he can't get up, but and then you've got the wicker whatever, a dumbass. When you have to explain the rules of a match at length, your match isn't good. Especially when even one of the Singh brothers couldn't figure out what the rules were. So yeah, I'm the undercard match is what I'm looking forward to. But not John Cena's match and not the Punjabi prison one. Like, whatever.
Oh.
AJ and Kevin Owens, sure. Nakamura, Baron Corbin, yeah, I'm into those. But outside of that, I don't give a shit who attacked the fashion police.
Oh.
How long has that been going on, by the way?
Too long at this point. You know, I've enjoyed them, those segments for the most part. Like, it's been one of the reasons to watch SmackDown. But, yeah, like you said, this week's... one that good, and I don't care who attacked them. Like, there aren't that many options at this point. And I don't think they're going
to
call...
And that's what I was trying to figure out.
Because they've interviewed the Ascension multiple times. They've interviewed the clones multiple times. Unless they call someone up, and I don't know if they're going to... Oh.
See that?
That is outstanding. That must have just been on Instagram. It's not on his Twitter.
Way more patriotic than anything John Cena's ever done. Anyways. I just showed Kevin a picture, though. Just showed Kevin that picture. I mean. Yeah,
I might have to use that for the show photo. But, what the...
Yeah, no, I totally derailed that, by the way.
Oh, the tag teams. Like, I don't know. I guess I was going to say, what, are they going to bring up the Authors of Pain? Which would be a little weird, considering they're still champion. I mean, not that it hasn't happened before, but they've kind of wised up at this point and at least gotten the belts off of people before they've moved them to the major shows rather than trying to drag people in with the championship defense that you know is going to get lost by the person that's on the main roster.
And I understand that. But what purpose would it serve? Why would the Authors of Pain be so vague about what they're doing? So it can't be them.
Yeah, I mean...
But yeah, I have no idea.
I've got nothing. Like, it's not even like this is an obvious NXT call-up. It's going to be... You know... If both Gargano and Ciampa were healthy and they hadn't just broken up, they wouldn't have been the ones to do it. I sure as shit hope they're not calling up Heavy Machinery already.
I mean, it's our show, but I don't get those guys. Like, the one guy's small and fat. He's pretty strong. Otis... And yes. What's the other guy's name?
Spunkmeyer.
You know, you don't see him coming all the time anymore. And when they hit, it leaves you breathless sometimes. For fuck's sake. So there's Otis. Oh my god, I almost said Otis Spunkmeyer. Otis Dovovich. And then the other guy. And they lost this week, which is good because they had no business beating Authors of Pain already. But I can't see them as a main roster call up. If they're breaking up American Alpha, who look good together, and Enzo and Cass, who look good together, can you imagine those guys? They're not going to last 2 weeks on the main roster.
And they do the same thing that has happened to the Ascension.
Yes. Yeah. Good call. Yeah.
So, yeah. Bad. And again, another one of the choices that, like, I don't even feel like looking at the roster, but I mean, I can't think that there's another tag team to take a spot. You know, just on the SmackDown roster itself, it's not New Day, it's not the Usos, it's not the Ascension, and it's not the Clones. Like, are they going to form a new tag team just for this angle? Do I really... And, again, as entertaining as Fandango and Breeze have been, you know, it's one of those, they haven't really proven anything in the ring scenarios. So it's not like someone's going to prove something in the ring if they come in fresh and beat them. So I don't know what anyone's...
No one that comes to mind.
Yeah, like, I don't know what anyone is gaining from this angle, aside from some entertaining skits that they're putting on. for the most part.
But even those are getting kind of long in the tooth now, so it's like, all right, you know, fit. For me, like, okay, it was fun for a while, guys, but yeah, but I mean, that's Battleground. Like, they mentioned AJ Styles and Kevin Owens, but AJ's already won the U.S. title. Neither of them got the talk, and then you got Baron Corbin taking on Nakamura. Neither one of them talked. Unless, honestly, did I miss something?
Styles and Nakamura had a really short segment that, and Nakamura is just like, I'm going to come knock in one of these days, and just walks out, which is cool. I mean, I guess I like it, but it doesn't do anything to help hype his match with Baron Corbin on Sunday. You know, it makes you look forward to when Nakamura and Styles do wrestle each other in the WWE. Okay, I mean, that, again, cool. But it doesn't do anything for Battleground whatsoever. So, I mean, it was really weird that the newsworthy show wasn't the go-home show this week.
Did you talk about Raw's main event?
Yeah, we do need to talk about Raw's main event. So, the unnewsworthy show was Battleground, and the newsworthy show, again, Raw. Eh, it's whatever, bad splice. It could have gone smoother,
who cares?
But fuck it.
But no, but you're right, and it's funny because I was telling you, I think last week we were talking about how it's the quality difference between SmackDown and Raw has been noticeable. Like, SmackDown, you don't need to watch SmackDown anymore. You sure as shit don't need to watch SmackDown anymore because there's not even a reason to watch it afterwards. They barely promoted 205 Live, and now that we all know Talking Smack's gone, I mean, who cares? Nothing exciting's happened on SmackDown. All the good stuff's been on Raw, which was not the case. And I wonder if they made, you know, just like the old days, when Heyman's SmackDown was killing Raw creatively and then in the ratings, well, not killing him in the ratings, but beating him in the ratings, if somebody internally went, hey, we got to switch this up. Because flagship show is, you know, is not the main one like it should be. So, but yeah, I mean, that main event, like I said, I didn't see all of it. I saw highlights, but the way they treated Strowman, I don't understand why you're supposed to boo Braun Strowman. Oh. The guy is a legit, like, badass. He comes in and, you know, it took Roman an ambulance to take him out for a week, you know, running an ambulance into a pole. Strowman comes back, doesn't dick around, you know, no ominous warnings, nothing, just comes in and screws up the match and goes right after Roman. And if Joe would have just left well enough alone, other than being probably pissed off about it, then Joe wouldn't have gotten knocked out. So, yeah, it just, I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's...
I don't know if you make this a four-way or not, but I'm definitely intrigued, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess that's the thing, is that that's just way more intriguing than a Punjabi prison match. They're trying to make that sound ominous, and just no one's buying it.
That dumbass line, and you know when JBL isn't behind something he says, or he doesn't like something, he even said, wow, what a brutal structure. And that was it, like, yeah. Yeah, that looks way worse than Hell in a Cell does. Or even Elimination Chamber, for that matter. But, whatever. Like I said, if you gotta explain the rules that long, it's not worth it. Anyways. We're talking about Raw now, anyways.
Yeah, so I mean, well, and I guess that was the one thing that I wasn't sure. The match was a good match. I mean, I like both Samoans named Joe. In that match, and they had a pretty good match going on until, you know, the obvious did happen with Braun Strowman coming down. So they didn't really give away a finish, which is cool. You know, at least save something for. Because I feel like the Reigns-Joe matches. I know the first one had something of a funky ending, because I'm trying to think of who. Was Reigns distracted by Strowman even back then? Because I feel like it wasn't like outright interference, but I feel like Joe had a little bit of help in winning the first match.
Yeah, it was the ambulance. It was Braun coming back and bust out of the ambulance.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't that it? Yeah, and he got, and even Joe says, like, "What kind of idiot gets distracted during a match?" So basically, putting all the emphasis on, you know, Roman.
Yeah, Reigns.
Good, he should. But yeah, so there was that. So
yeah, so I mean, Joe's kind of won, but I think both of the matches under some auspicious circumstances for himself. Like, normally I would go with that. Like, why were you distracted by that? But loud noises tend to distract anyone pretty much, so I'm just going to let that one slide. Plus, it's Braun Strowman, and you know that he just comes down to whoop your ass. Like, he isn't there to do any talking from the stage. Again, to go to his badass nature, you know, like, he has, like, he's a guy that... He has thrived without a whole lot of mic time, but he also is lucky enough to be 6'9" and 300 some odd pounds and move like a guy who's a good 50 to 100 pounds smaller than him. You know, he won the genetic lottery, and it's just, it's not going to come around that often that you can kind of get away with those types of promos. I want more challenges, or I want more competition. Like, most people would die if that was basically their line every week, but Strowman backs it up. It was the one part I think you did see that it took Reigns and Joe to kind of keep him down, and it still didn't work.
Yep.
I mean, this is Samoa Joe, who just went toe-to-toe with Brock Lesnar, and Lesnar kind of pulled one out on Joe. And, you know, Roman Reigns had a really good match with Lesnar before Seth Rollins came down to wreck that at WrestleMania. So, I mean, they kind of had their tough bona fides established for themselves, and to have someone destroy them essentially is just crazy and impressive. And yeah, like, there's nothing not to like about that. Like, he came down and he won the 2-on-1, and it wasn't one of those times where I'm just like, they're just giving it to the guy. You know, because it's the baby face or something like that, where they need to give him that shine. Yeah. Like, Strowman, you just legitimately believe that he can pull this off. At least, you know, since they had a hard-hitting match.
Yeah, yeah.
It certainly helped him out. But still, like, to beat those two guys as soundly as he did is impressive, to say the least. And there's nothing not to like about the guy.
Yeah, and it just, other than he's beating up supposedly the fan favorite, which is debatable still.
Oh.
So, you know, like, that'd be the only reason to boo the guy. But, yeah, man, I just... I'm enjoying it because it's just good. So, but
Well, and I guess
but it's like Raw's got the intriguing stuff. Like, outside of that, and as much as I don't like that they split Enzo and Cass, you've got, like, a little compelling story there where you have the little scrappy underdog Enzo, which, questionably using other people to fight his battle, but trying to come back, you know, go against the guy that, you know, broke his heart, whatever. The Hardys now struggling. You got the Revival, you know, building them up, and they won clean. I mean, so you got the talented guys there. And the women, I don't like Alexa Bliss losing, but at least they're making a big deal out of the champion getting pinned.
Well, and she has done a good job, for the most part, in avoiding the losses, like most champions recently.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it did help to make that moment special that she did take the pinfall.
I feel like champion losing should be met with, you know, it's a big thing, you know? And at least they did that. So, yeah, I give credit to the announce team on that one because, you know, that could have really sucked. They could have really screwed it up. And they didn't. And, you know, got to give credit where it's due, whoever's in their ear. And then that turns into something else where it's like Bayley and Sasha are now arguing about who should go against who. Well, at least they're doing something, like they're creating something out of it, which is more than SmackDown, because SmackDown's like, you five of you ladies get in a match and we'll see who wins. Like,
well, cool. Yeah, and it helps, like you said, that you want a real issue, like, and you can see both angles, like, Sasha, did she win by count? Oh, yeah, she won by count out. So, I mean, she deserves some type of a rematch, and Bayley's won a couple of, well, a tag team match and then a singles match against Bliss. So, I mean, you know, both of them have legitimate reasons why they should get a shot at it. Like, there's no weird petty stuff going on. There's no baby mamas involved. There isn't, you know, it's a pretty straightforward case that they're setting up.
Yeah, and I don't know.
That's why it's good.
Raw's still too long, mind you.
Oh,
but there's just more intriguing stuff going on there than there is on SmackDown. And I'm trying to think of like some of the other stuff, but I think I'm starting to wear down. But no, it's, you know, and even, well, Sheamus and Cesaro, they weren't on this week, were they?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess, and maybe I'll take a beating for this one, but even in the last few weeks, and this is going to sound stupid, but even Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel are now important. I mean, how dumb is that? If you really think about how stupid is that, but it's true.
It's in a smart move by The Miz, too, where you have to change kind of frequently, or at least tweak your gimmick somewhat frequently these days. And to add those two guys into his act is a good thing for him. Like, I mean, he'd been going strong with himself and Maryse for a year plus on SmackDown. Like, there's only so much creatively that you can do with that. So, adding two guys that, while not, well, they make perfect stooges, really.
Yeah.
For The Miz. So,
but so far, they're competent stooges, though. They're not treating them like a bunch of dummies who are all, like, losing all the time or costing him matches.
Oh, I mean,
right.
It's
only 3 weeks, but still, you know,
they've been consistent about it. Yeah, they've looked better the last few weeks than they have, you know, prior to this, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were nowhere to be found. Is it gonna get them a whole lot? Nah, but it gets them on TV. I'm sure things are a little bit better when you're on TV. At least you have a chance to do something at that point.
I also thought, it can't be now, but what if they were the ones messing with the fashion police? But they were never on SmackDown, so that couldn't have been it. But
Yeah, there are a lot of holes in that one.
Yeah, never mind. But, yeah, man, it is what it is with Raw and SmackDown right now, and SmackDown's got talent, but it's all the writers.
Yeah, because
I was surprised they gave away Mike Bennett and Sami Zayn on BTV. That really did surprise me. I figured they would have made Mike Bennett's, you know, big debut to be on, you know, they're still calling pay-per-views.
Yeah.
So.
Yep, still listed in there. As long as it's listed on their website as a pay-per-view, that's what I'm sticking with.
I guess some companies are still carrying them. So
yeah. There was no. I just did a skim through, and there was no Cesaro and Sheamus there.
All right.
But
that's all right.
Another entertaining thing that it's nothing special, but it's working for me is Titus O'Neil starting to put 205 Live on the map.
Yeah, Titus has been a real. I'm glad you mentioned this. At first, I was like, "All right, this isn't making much sense," but now he's become like a legit promoter. No, I'll say promoter in this case, hype man. I guess if you want to go there. It's been pretty damn entertaining, and he was always an entertaining guy. Now that reminds me, whatever happened to Darren Young and the Bob Backlund thing?
I don't know, but he never takes a day off, so I'm sure that they're still doing that thing for YouTube or something.
All right, well, there's that. But yeah, no, it's and I liked. What was he calling Tawazawa or something like that?
Oh, yeah, it was something of that nature.
Yeah. So I was pretty happy to see he, like, got rid of that all of a sudden. And he's just, like, a legit, you know. So.
Yeah, I mean, he, like you said, he's an entertaining guy. I mean, I guess they really did have a problem with his in-ring work. Was the problem because they kept on putting him on TV. I guess they're in more circumstances, they're finding out that there are good ways to use multiple people these days. Kind of like Enzo you were talking about earlier. Like, they're clearly going to keep him around. They have a role in mind for him.
Yeah.
What that is long term, it will, you know, I'll let that go until later. But, you know, these guys that can just talk and maybe aren't so great in the ring, the WWE is finding more spots for them. Just like they are, you know, just more talent in general. Because they're producing a shit ton of TV.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know how many more people they're going to bring in, really, but... You know, they've really brought in a lot of talent over the last few years just because, hey man, 52 years or 52 weeks a year now, there are still and lots of bodies.
Yeah, a lot. Which is just, when you put it like that, it's crazy because they don't even do best of. Well, was it SmackDown? Well, SmackDown will be a Tuesday. I'll be curious what it is, what it'll be like again. Well, SmackDown was kind of a review show because they were already in Orlando, I thought. Or I guess the SmackDown guys must have just flown in after. Because remember, that WrestleMania week for them is literally a week with all the appearances and all that. So even just 52 weeks a year with all the hours and hours of footage, goddamn.
Yeah. Yep. There's a lot of there's going to be a lot of good and there's going to be a lot of bad, and I guess it's just kind of funny because really, like you said, it's been a while since Raw's been clearly the more interesting show. And it's clearly more interesting at the current moment. Because there have been some questionable choices on the SmackDown side. So.
Yeah, so. But. I don't know. Do we even want to get into the talking smack stuff? Or leave that for another day?
I didn't watch it, so I know that a lot of angles came out of that, and it seemed like a very good forum from what pretty much everyone I know that watches wrestling, you know, watched and or listened to it. So it must have been more than worthwhile. So I guess it sucks from that perspective, but since I didn't watch it, it doesn't really do a whole lot for me one way or the other.
It was a goddamn shame that show is gone. Because that gave birth to The Miz, like, rejuvenating his career. The Usos, that's where they started their new style on there as well. It's actually shown Baron Corbin to actually have mic skills. It's a ridiculous thing to cancel it. But McMahon didn't think that it was a good representation of WWE. The same guy that approved Jason Jordan being Kurt Angle's kid doesn't think a show where the wrestlers can go off the cuff and actually explore their characters or just their personalities is a good fit. And that's probably where we should just end the show then.
Okie doke. At DeFrango11, at Granny Maze, brand at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, wherever you happen to listen to this.
SoundCloud's even in existence.
Huh? Oh, it's not
in existence. SoundCloud only has like a month left before they're out of money.
Oh, I was not aware of this.
Yeah, we talked about it real quick on We Watch Stuff last week. And just about how... Oh, no, actually, I don't know if we talked about it on air or not. But anyways, yeah. So just like the way Twitter, Snapchat, all that stuff... None of these sites and apps make money, and it's only a matter of time. So, unfortunately for SoundCloud, because we like to put stuff up there. Anyways.
Okie dokie. Well, do that for us. Another weirdly aged German suplex from Stunt Granny Brewing this week. Just note to self, do not let Hefeweizen sit for a year. Just go ahead and drink those as soon as they're ready. Bell time beer. Out.